Have you ever seen the TV show The Carbonaro Effect? Michael Carbonaro is an illusionist and a master at causing the "wait, what just happened?" reaction in people as they're on hidden camera in a public place. When the impossible seems to have happened, he then explains it and gets the people to believe it, even though it doesn't make any sense at all. For example, a fridge that fills itself with products that you pick on the screen on the front of the fridge. And he explains that they're just downloaded from the cloud and into your fridge. Makes no sense at all, and they believe it. Look him up on YouTube. Hilarious. As we get a glimpse into the lives of Peter and the other apostles in the book of Acts this morning, we see something that is a "wait, what just happened?" moment for some people who confronted those men sent out by God on what was the most meaningful mission because it had the most meaningful message, that of salvation through faith in Jesus. We're reminded this morning that it wasn't just Peter and the apostles who were sent out to talk to people about Jesus. We actually share their mission and their message. After Jesus ascended into heaven, things looked like they were going pretty well for those who trusted in the risen Christ. There were the miracles on Pentecost, the apostles preaching in languages they didn't know, 3,000 people who were baptized and came to faith that day. We're told that they had the ability to heal people. People were even bringing others to sit where they thought Peter would pass by so that they would be in his shadow and maybe they would be healed. It says that they did other signs and wonders. We're told that the believers were united in faith in Jesus and the things that Jesus teaches. We're told that they met together regularly, probably not just on Sunday at the temple. I mean, it sounds like life was pretty good for the believers in this fledgling New Testament church. But not everyone was happy with this growing Christian community. The Sadducees were a small religious / political group. They were made up of wealthy Jewish priests who were loyal to Rome. The Roman government actually chose the high priest from among the Sadducees. So, you can imagine, they had much power and authority over the people. As for their religious views, a couple notable things. They didn't believe in angels, which is ironic considering what happens here. They also did not believe in the resurrection to eternal life. So, in the chapter before our reading, we hear that the high priest and the Sadducees were very upset with Peter and John. Why? Because they were preaching about Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. Two things that group and the highest ranking Jewish leader opposed. They were also afraid and envious at the effectiveness of their teaching and the growing number of Christians. And so, jealous and zealous, they and the other religious leaders told the apostles in no uncertain terms they were not to talk about Jesus and they were not to teach about him. Of course, the apostles didn't live. Finally, those religious political leaders had enough. So one day, as the believers were there gathering in Solomon's colonnade, that was the long, high-columned portico along the east side of the temple. As they were meeting there, the Sadducees swooped in. They swept up the apostles and they put them in prison. If your appendix bursts in the middle of the night, you want a surgeon sent in, right? If your pipes burst, you want a plumber because they're the right one for the job. The right person in crucial faith and church situations is not a person at all. It's an angel. God sends angels in those circumstances. So, as the apostles were spending the night in jail, an angel comes He releases them from prison so that they continue on their mission to share the message of faith in Jesus. And then the angel shuts and locks the door. I'm sure it wasn't funny, but it seems kind of funny. The power struggle that went on. The authorities tell them, "Don't you dare preach," and then they lock them up. The angel comes, lets them out, and says, "Now go and preach." And they do. So like a football player called to the sideline, coached up by the coach, and then sent back out there, the angel sends them back out to teach about Jesus in the courts of the temple. The "wait, what just happened" moment happened as the sun was coming up. The whole Sanhedrin, the highest religious governing body of the Jews, the high priest, the Sadducees, the elders of the people, they have no idea what just happened. And neither did the captain of the guard, the police chief. He just explained that the prison doors were locked, but the apostles were gone. Like people stunned by an illusionist, they couldn't figure it out. But this was no illusion. This was real. And it was a real problem for the authorities, because those men were back out there teaching about Jesus, doing the exact thing that they were told not to do. Someone runs up to them and says, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple courts and teaching the people." So the temple police chief and the officers go out and they arrest them again, but nicely. Because in the midst of this, "wait, what just happened" moment, they never even considered that God might have done this. They likely assumed that the number of people listening to the apostles was swelling and that those people had orchestrated a jailbreak. Don't excite the crowd, or there will be trouble. It's then that the apostles are questioned again in a hastily convened trial, and they state their mission and their message, but they're told, "Did we not give you strict orders not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us." Now, if you know Peter, you are not surprised at all to see him speaking for the apostles, and he explains that God had sent them on this mission. He said, "We must obey God rather than men." They were obeying God as they spoke about forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus. When these men told them not to do that, the apostles just weren't going to listen to them. God is the highest authority, and he's the one that gave them the mission. "Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us." The high priest had a guilty conscience, and he was guilty, but he didn't think so. So Peter lays into him, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross." Peter had told them this before in the previous chapter, and he was telling them again. This was a stern preaching of the law. Yeah, stick it to him, Peter. They should feel guilty because they were guilty. Not so fast. Don't you also have guilt before God and a guilty conscience? Why is that? Because you're as sinful as the high priest. Jesus had to die for you just as much as he had to die for the high priest. You and me and that guy and the Sanhedrin and every person in the world, Jesus needed to die for, to pay for our sins. We all needed the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. So rather than getting too excited about Peter giving it to them, we might think of how Peter could tell us too that our sin caused the death of Jesus. And no, we didn't literally put him on the cross like they did, but our sins caused him to be nailed to it and die. It doesn't sound like it, but this was a really beautiful and loving thing when Peter said what he said, because he was hoping and praying that they would come to recognize their sin and repent and put their faith in the one who was their Savior from these very sins that they committed. His tough preaching of the law was followed by beautiful gospel, wasn't it? God exalted him to his right hand as Prince and Savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. As awful as their sins were, ours are just as damning. And just as you and I can repent and be forgiven in Jesus, they could have too. Peter and the others were on a mission, and they were the perfect ones to carry it out because they'd seen Jesus. They'd seen him live. They heard him teach. They saw him nailed to a cross. They saw him die. They saw him rise from death. They saw him ascend into heaven. They had seen it all. It says they were witnesses of these things. No one was better equipped, and God used them to preach the law that hurt to the heart and the gospel that healed the wound. Seeing the apostles carry out this mission and with this message reminds us, I hope inspires us, that there is nobody better than you and me to carry this message to. But let's go back to the priest's words for a minute. Did we not give you strict orders not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us. Do you hear what I hear? Not the opposition part, not the guilty conscience of the high priest part. Do you hear the high priest's unintentional high compliment? It's right in the middle. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Are you with me? Jerusalem was a big city. There were lots and lots of people there. And what had God done with this band of a dozen preachers? He had filled the city with the gospel. They had spread the good news of Jesus and salvation throughout it. And so the body of believers was growing and growing because God was granting success to their mission. He was blessing their message. Can you be accused of what the apostles were accused of? I'm guessing that not many of us could claim to have filled our city or our neighborhood or our street, and yes, sometimes not even our family, with the good news, the message of Jesus. Another thing to look to Jesus for forgiveness for. Another thing to strive to do like the apostles did. Really, we know what the early believers knew. We've witnessed it in a different way. They literally saw Jesus and saw him do all of those things. But we have seen him through the scriptures written by some of these very men. We believe it. We've experienced it. We've experienced the forgiveness that we have in Jesus, the relief. We've experienced the comfort of God's love. We've experienced the confidence that comes with knowing that we have eternal life when we die, all because of Jesus. That's the stuff that we should be sharing with people who are going through life without knowing any of it. Even the cranky ones, like the high priest, his bad attitude did not stop Peter. And it didn't stop Peter from not only telling him, but telling lots of other people too. We're going to meet all types of people too as we share Christ with them. And think about this. They did this without the freedom of speech. How does that make you feel about your witnessing when you hear that? We actually have the freedom to proclaim Jesus as the world's Savior. You're not going to be thrown into a jail that an angel has to bust you out of. So why do we have so much trouble doing it? Why is it so hard for us to talk to somebody about Jesus? Why is it hard to invite somebody to come to church with you? College students, is it hard? Is it hard to bring a friend to church? Is it hard to invite him to come along with you on Sunday night to Bible study? Why is this so hard for us? We have the most meaningful mission because souls are literally at stake. And we have the most meaningful message because it has the power to literally save them. When we realize our apprehension and our failures, we're looking to Jesus and repenting, right? We're asking for forgiveness. We're trusting that Jesus' blood shed for us covers us and forgives our sins. We're asking the Holy Spirit for just a little bit of that boldness that he gave to the apostles. Picture the angel telling you to get back out there. We can definitely do this witnessing work. We can definitely share Jesus with others. We're the right ones for the job. We are because we know what the apostles knew. We know what they told to the authorities. We can say, too, that Jesus died and Jesus rose and Jesus ascended into heaven. He's the Savior who brings forgiveness and eternal life. Same mission, same message. Amen.